Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Mike. That was awesome. That was a powerful message. Great singing, good playing, Brother Mike. That was beautiful. Open your Bibles tonight, please, to two portions of Scripture. I want us to start in Acts chapter 6, and then I want us to also be in Paul's writing to a young pastor in 1 Timothy, excuse me. So Acts chapter 6, and then also 1 Timothy. I had intentions of really doing most of it on Wednesday, but to be quite honest, there's a lot of things that I want to cover in the summer. I want to take our summer months and really, by God's grace, I mean this, by God's grace, just really bring some clarity to a lot of the different ministries of our church. We do know and we do believe, and I was telling Brother Stephen the other night, that we've been at around 200 for a little while now. And I think one of the reasons we are is we've got to bring more intentionality to a lot of the ministries that we have and ministries that we do not currently have. So with that said, the last several Wednesday nights, the last couple of Wednesday nights, we've looked at the office of a deacon. And we've tried to really give you an insight and give you a little understanding into the wonderful office that God has placed. There's only two ordained offices in the local church, the pastor and the deacon. And as we'll see tonight, as we continue to kind of look at it from the perspective, from a biblical perspective, what a deacon is and what a deacon is to have and what a deacon was is as far as in Scripture, the Church of Jerusalem, what their role and responsibilities are, I really truly believe that as we move forward, and I do it, and I mean this, I do expect our church to grow numerically. I truly do. Does anybody else expect that? I truly believe God is pleased with numerical growth. Now, I will say, and I preface by saying, it's not just about numerical growth. Our passion and our heart here at Emmanuel is truly. The Lord Jesus is our witness on this. We desire to grow fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's our heart. That's our passion. And in order to do so, we know that things have to be done and done decently and in order. Paul told the church at Corinth that if to do stuff, we are to do it decently and in order. God is a God of order. Amen. God is a God of things that if you're going to do them, you need to do them well. You need to do them with all of your heart. You need to do them with all the passion and all the fervor and all I started to say giftedness. That really is a different thought, but do it with all your might. One of the things that we strive to do this summer, and just my heart, just kind of letting you into my heart for a moment in these next few months, one of the things that we desire to do is to get people serving really in the context of their spiritual giftedness. Now, why is that important? You say, yeah, but Pastor, you do know and you are aware that people can't always, you know, there are needs in a church, and sometimes people just stand in the gap. You're absolutely right, and I thank God for that. You know, we need people that just have the attitude of, hey, we don't care what it is. If there's a need, we want to be a part of that. And that is absolutely never more visible than in our VBS ministry. Dozens and dozens and dozens of you get involved in that ministry. There'll be a meeting immediately after service tonight. So there's a lot of things, and there's a lot of needs. But God knows my heart, and this is my heart, and this is our passion. Brother Stephen, if Brother Stephen was standing up here, he and I have already had this conversation, and we are a hand in glove in this aspect of ministry. We want to, as your pastor, raise the bar. We want to raise the bar because we believe the Lord deserves that. Amen. We want to have things planned out long ahead of time. So that gives people an opportunity as singers and as choir, as you know, other ministries in the church that gives them an opportunity to really become passionate about the different directions that we're going. And many of you, honestly, already are passionate. You say, Preacher, I'll be honest, we're wore out. Well, that may be the case, but here's what we're trying to do. We're trying, and our prayer is that by bringing some descriptions to these roles and jobs in the church, it then will bring some clarity. And if we can bring some clarity, then it'll also bring some more of an opportunity for you to serve in the context of your spiritual giftedness. I'm a firm believer that if you can get people that know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and they love the Lord Jesus with all their heart and they love people like Jesus commands us to love them, and then they understand what their motivational gift is according to Romans chapter 12. You know what I mean? What the Bible, when the Bible speaks of motivational gifts, it's speaking of a gift that God, when He saved you, He placed in you. Now, when God saved you, and you may not understand this, and you may not even necessarily believe it, but I promise you it's a biblical premise. When God saved you, He gave you at least one. And I say at least one. Some have more than one. But He gave you at least one spiritual gift to therefore use for His honor and glory, but also for the benefit of the edification of the local New Testament church. Why is that important? When we figure out what our motivational gifts are, we can then take you and plug you into ministries where you will shine for the Lord's honor and glory. So with that said, we're now looking at, and we have been, at the office of a deacon. And I know there may be some that say, preacher, to be honest with you, I'll never be a deacon. Maybe you think that because you say, preacher, I could never measure up. Well, I think as you'll see in Scripture, and we've already looked at this, and I'm just going to kind of springboard off of what we've already talked about and then give you some reasons, if you will, the deacons were chosen. But then Paul begins to expound even more into the role of a deacon. As a matter of fact, and we're going to look at this in the coming weeks, we'll skip next weekend, but the following week, Lord willing, we're going to look at now, once we finish up the role of the deacon in the office of a deacon, we're going to talk about the deacon's wife. The deacon's wife is very critical, just as a pastor's wife is very critical to his ministry. So we're going to cover that. And many of you ladies that may be in here and your wives, to some good godly men that love Jesus and they have faith and they have a passion for Christ and they're full of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to see from a biblical perspective of what God requires of not only a deacon, but of a deacon's wife. Because, ladies and gentlemen, God does require things in those offices. Whether you hold the office of a pastor or a deacon, the wife has to be right alongside with that. I've been in ministry for a while, and I've seen men, godly men, that their ministry didn't survive, and sometimes it's due to the lack of buy-in of the wife. And I say, and just hear my heart on this, I'm grateful to God, you know, for our deacons, for our Brother Stephen, Miss Melissa, and the wives of our deacons, and the wife of Brother Stephen, as far as their hand in glove in ministry, and that's important, that's of necessity. I do believe it's a biblical premise that as far as in the context of a local New Testament church, now we do not, let me just say it, and then I'll bring some clarity to the thought. I do believe it's a biblical principle that you as a member of this local New Testament church, you should be able to look at a pastor and his wife, an assistant pastor and his wife, at a deacon and his wife, as an example, not of perfection. There are none of us that are perfect. Amen. My wife said, amen. There are none of us that are perfect. But we should be an example to the church that the church then can look at and say, you know what? You know, I want to be godly. I want to have a Christ-honoring walk. I want to have a godly character about me. I want to be full of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to be someone that loves Jesus with all their heart. So as we dig, you say, wow, preacher, that's a pretty strong introduction to your thought tonight and to the sermon tonight. Well, And I did that intentionally. And the reason I did that intentionally is because of this. God does require a lot of pastors and deacons. And He does require a lot of preachers' wives and deacons' wives. So we're going to go through that. And you say, woohoo, man, woohoo, I'm glad. I'm free and clear for a couple weeks. No. You're not free and clear because, as we've said before, just as God has placed a high value and a high requirement if you serve in the office of a pastor or a pastor's wife or a deacon and a deacon's wife, I do believe biblically that of all those characteristics that are mentioned in there, the vast majority are, should be qualities and characteristics that if you're born again, you should strive to have in your life. So I hope you'll hear that, and I hope you'll really press in and be engaged in this series of sermons over the next several weeks. And so Acts chapter 6, very familiar passage. We've read it many, many times, and we're going to read it again, and then we're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 in just a moment, where in Acts chapter 6, you have the introduction of the deacon ministry. When you come then to 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul, under the inspiration of God, he begins to expound even more of some key qualifications that have to be in a pastor's wife or a pastor's wife life, or a deacon or a deacon's wife, a deacon wife's life. Say that fast, it's hard to do. But there are some qualities, there are some characteristics, there are some things, hear my heart, there are some things that are non-negotiable. They have to be in our life if we're going to serve in those capacities and serve well. May I remind each and every one of us, I'll say Brother Stephen and Miss Melissa, I'll say to my wife, I'll say to our deacons and their wives, may I remind every single one of us, we will stand and give an account to the Lord Jesus one day for the ministries that we were a part of. And I say that not, God knows my heart, I say that not as, look at you, I say that as, wow, what a thought, what a humbling thought. And God has ordained it. God has ordained it that if we serve Him and we serve Him the way He intends for us to serve Him, we should serve Him through a local New Testament church. So having said that, He brings in these offices of pastor and deacons. He brings them into the local congregation for a reason. And I said this the other night, and I know you heard me, and I mean it. We have great deacons in this church. We have a tremendous deacon body, and I'm grateful to God for that. And I have leaned on them, especially for the last few years. I've leaned hard on them. There's times that, honestly, I didn't think I could take another breath, but I have leaned on them. I have leaned on our deacons. I have leaned on Brother Stephen and Miss Melissa, my wife. And I mean this. And just hear my heart on this. And you boys, I know you know this. I truly believe I would not be in the pastorate today if it weren't for our deacons and weren't for our assistant pastor and his wife and my wife. I wouldn't be in the midst. You say, preacher, why? Why? Is there some secret in your life? No. Here's the newsflash. When I went through that deep, dark depression in my life and that discouragement in my life due to outside circumstances that we're dealing with and still continue to deal with, you know what happened? Our deacons, my wife, Brother Stephen, Miss Melissa, they came right alongside of me and lifted my arms up when I couldn't lift them up anymore. So when I'm preaching on deacons, and I'm preaching on an assistant pastor, and I'm preaching on my wife and Miss Melissa, you need to understand, we are truly blessed. We are truly blessed as a church to have them in the roles that they're in. We are blessed, church. Can I get a witness? No. Let's do this. Can I get a praise the Lord? Absolutely. We are blessed as a church. It is on a regular basis, and I know you know this. I've got a hymn that I'm trying to hold in with a pen, and it's driving me nuts. Whew. My wife said, you need to get it to a tailor. I'm like, I gotta find me somebody and fix it. Maybe let the waist out a little bit too, maybe. But anyway, I'm a mess. I got a little belt loop that I'm holding on with a pin, and it's giving all she's got, brother. I can tell you that. Oh, but anyway, but one thing that I love being able to tell other pastors and being able to tell other ministries about how God has blessed us and how the Lord Jesus has placed leaders in this body for a reason and for a purpose. And those that may sit here and I say, preacher, yeah, but I'm not a deacon. I'm not a deacon's wife. I'm not a pastor's wife. Yeah, but if you know Jesus as your Savior, you're a gifted person. And the key to this, this is a lengthy introduction. The key to this is not looking at it and think to ourselves what we may not be someday. The key to it is looking at the Word of God and let the Word of God speak into our life and have the understanding of saying, hey, I may not serve in those capacities, but wherever God allows me to serve, and I emphasize, please hear that with intentionality, where God allows me to serve in His church, I'm going to do it with every fiber of my being. I'm going to do it with excellence. I'm going to do it with excitement. I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. I'm going to do it with an understanding that there may come a day when I will not be able to do it any longer due to my health, where I may not be able to do it any longer due to other outside circumstances. You're aware of that, right? Well, I hope we're aware that if we're going to do anything for Jesus, we better do it now. We better do it now. Acts chapter 6. Please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We know the context. There was some division in the church. There was some distraction in the church. The church of Jerusalem was on fire for God, man. Thousands of people are getting born again. Thousands of people are getting baptized. Just in 5 chapters, the church has grown to tens of thousands, scholars believe. I read one, perhaps 40, 50,000. One writer said perhaps as much as 100,000. But we don't know necessarily. That's not the important that we know the exact number. But one thing we do know, they went from just 120 or so to then 3,000 on Pentecost to then a multitude. All right? That's the congregation in Jerusalem. That's how much it had grown. So because of that, the apostles gathered the church together, the group together, and he said, verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report. These were men that were part of the local New Testament church. They were among, they were part of that body. And therefore, they then would be brought forth from that New Testament church. The Bible says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will, this is so important, the apostles say, but we will, these were the preachers, if you will, these were the pastors, if you will. They said, you look out, 7 men of honest report, here's the requirements. Yes, the church chose them, but I want you to see something in Scripture. Yes, the church chose them, but it was the apostles that laid the foundation and the requirements to which those men would hold that position. So it's important to know that. The apostles, if you will, so it gives some clarity. And the apostles said, but we will give ourselves continually. The work of a pastor is never, ever done. As long as he has life, as long as he has breath, he should continually give himself. The apostles say, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Father, bless, we pray, the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to use some material by Dr. Johnny Hunt tonight. He actually wrote a phenomenal training course on deacons. They have a vibrant deacon ministry at the First Baptist Church of Woodstock, Georgia. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of deacons serve in that local ministry. Well, Brother Johnny Hunt wrote a series of videos. There's videos there. There's lecture notes. There's all kinds of stuff. It's phenomenal material about what a biblical deacon is to be. Well, in this material, and Brother Johnny pulls it right out of this passage, he said that there were 5 reasons the deacons were chosen. Number one, the deacons were chosen to create continued harmony in the church. That's why deacons were chosen, to bring harmony to a church. Now, I will add, and I promise you, this does not happen here, but in a lot of churches, and I say an emphasis of a lot, in a lot of churches that I personally know, Brother Bill, honestly, Brother Tommy, Brother Stephen, who also is assistant, but he's a deacon, Brother Joe will be home soon, and he'll get to the flower beds, hopefully, but he loves doing that, but I know of a lot of churches where they have, to their fault, the church has placed deacons in roles that God never intended for them to have. And because of that, the churches are a mess, and the churches have a lot of disunity in them. They have a lot of anger and bitterness in them. The simple role of a deacon was to serve tables. The simple role of a deacon was to minister to the widows in the church of Jerusalem. Now, why was that a big deal? What was the threat of you know, the Hellenists being neglected of the Grecian widows? What was the big deal? Well, again, the context here was the fact that this was a situation. Now, remember, the church was literally in the tens of thousands, right, Michael? Tens of thousands, this church was. Tens? Did you hear that? This local assembly had a membership in the tens of thousands. I remember somebody asking Brother Johnny Hunt, they said, "Brother Johnny, how big did your church have to grow to where you didn't have any problems in it any longer?" And he just kind of laughed, and he said, "Well, we haven't reached that number yet." And the reason it is, as long as it's a church and as long as there's people, there will always be problems. It's going to happen. Should we not expect it? It's going to happen. But as we said before, we thank God for the problems. You say, whoa, wait. Did you just say, preacher, we thank God for the problems? Well, yes, I did, and I'll tell you why. Because when problems arise, and they will, you men that will pastor someday, I promise you, let me pour courage into you tonight, to Miss Melissa and the wives of these men that will pastor someday. When you pastor, let me encourage you. You're going to face problems. But let me also encourage you. To the pastors and wives, someday you'll pastor. I really believe that. God's given us some good men in this church. And God has called me to preach some good men and good women right alongside of them. Why do problems happen in churches? Well, here's a thought for you. As a pastor that you'll be, and a pastor's wife that many of you will be, that's why God's put you there. God's placed you there because a church needs leadership. They need direction. They need to be taught the biblical way of handling problems. And if you'll do that and you'll model the biblical way of handling problems in front of your people will eventually buy into that and they will see it modeled before them. Honestly, I wish you would understand, and I wish you would hear the many, many people that have come and we've talked to and we've ministered to, and they've said things like, "Preacher, we don't go to our pastor. We don't go to our deacons. Because if we do, then it eventually comes from the pulpit like a machine gun, and it's a character assassination." To which I will respond, "Shame on any deacon or pastor that will take things in confidence and try to destroy from somebody from the pulpit. It is never God's will for that. Never God's will." He said, "Preacher, that you get fired up when you say it." You better believe I get fired up, because there is no doubt there are people that are out of church today, partly to blame, not wholly, but partly to blame because of bad leadership in their life, in a church. So what to God? We model this biblical model of being a deacon. To handle church growth, the five reasons for deacons. Brother Johnny pulls them out right out. I'm going to give him the credit because I can't improve on it. It's excellent. To handle church growth, that was the first one. I got ahead of myself. The church was growing. The apostles were, and I know you got to understand this, what was happening, if we read the passage, I think, correctly, the simple fact that the apostles were saying the deacons are chosen, and the apostles said, for the simple reason, for the deacons to say, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word, there seems an indication that that was being neglected at this moment. That because of all the other ministry needs, you see, one of the things that a pastor tries, and it's to our shame, it's to our fault. A pastor and a pastor's wife, they try to minister, honestly, they try to minister to everyone's needs. They try. Early on in my ministry, when the church was smaller, if you were having an ingrown toenail surgery, we were there. Honest truth, we were there. We didn't want you going in and having your toe operated on unless we could pray for you. The church has grown since then, and we can't be there. You say, I know, and I'm mad at you for it. I'm sorry, but we can't be there. So what do? We send the deacons to your toe surgeries now. No, but the point is, the church was growing, and you do know this. With growth comes growing pains. And I know I've taught you that, and I know I've told you that for years. With growth comes growing pains. You see that in any facet. You see it in business world. You see it in family dynamics, right? I saw something not too long ago. I forget what the kind of the statement was. You know, when you have one child, it's this. You have two children, it's this. You have three or more. We have three. You have three or more. You just become kind of a crowd controller. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, with growth comes growing problems. And the issue isn't trying to hope that there won't be problems. The issue will be, how do we dig in and how do we face these problems head on and handle them in a biblical way that honors Jesus Christ, the Lord? That's the goal. You say, preacher, do you mean the goal when there's a problem in the church, the goal is to do it the way and handle it the way Jesus would be pleased? Hear my heart. That's the number one goal that we have. That's the number one goal. And we honestly, if you've been around a man for any length of time, we face some biggies, brother. We've come through some big things. We've come through some tumultuous waters. We've come through some storms. And honestly, they should have been expected. We're working for the Lord. You can expect Satan to blast. He's going to do it. But when things happen, we honestly got along with the Lord. I would call special deacons meetings. Hey, we need to have a deacons meeting. And I would share my heart, and I would share my heart with them, and they would pour into me. They would pour courage into me. They would pour love into me. They would pray for me. They would email me. They would call me. That's what your deacons do. They not only minister to you, and that's what their role is, they minister to me and my wife and my family. And I'm grateful to God for that. So these deacons were chosen. The church of Jerusalem had gone in just a few, was it 7 years, Michael? I think perhaps 7 years. I could be wrong on that. But just in a short amount of time, that church had went from 120. And you could even say probably the feel. Can you just feel the little country church atmosphere, the 120 people, right? Us four, no more. We don't want anybody upset and don't want anybody taking my pew. Don't want anybody singing my soundtrack, right? To now there's thousands. And it's a fragment. That's not a good statement. It's not a fragment of what it used to be. It's just gotten bigger to the glory of God. People's lives are being changed. People are getting saved. People are getting baptized. People are being ministered to. But the devil isn't happy. He's going to try his best to upset the apple cart. He's going to try his best to bring division. But the apostles knew this. Why? Because they were men of God. They were men that walked with God. They were men who knew the word of God. They were men that were men of prayer. Maybe it was being a little neglected. It seems to indicate that. On the surface, we haven't done a dug in really on that, but just seems to indicate that there were some issues. And he goes on and says in verse 5, I love this. And again, remember, in the earlier verses, up to verse 5, there's some disunity. But now in verse 5, the saying pleased the whole multitude. Even in the midst of a trial, even in the midst of possible distraction and division, God brings unity. And by the way, friend, that's what trials should do to a church. What the devil wants to do when a trial comes into a church is the devil, and I hope you hear me, the devil wants the membership to take sides, to choose sides in this situation. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. The devil wants to drive a wedge between the pastor and other people. And the devil wants you to
and people will say things, and they will choose their sides. And I'll be honest, as a pastor, I've heard some crazy statements over the years. I've heard people say, that person shouldn't be in this church. You actually heard that preacher? Yeah. I've heard people say, I can't believe this. I can't believe pastor didn't handle it like this. And when that happens, our deacons are like good bloodhounds down home. They are. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Tommy? A good bloodhound gets his nose to the trail, and they stick to the trail, and they try to find out and investigate what the issue is. And then when they find it, they speak into that biblically. Not emotionally. That's dangerous. They speak into it biblically. Hey, whoa. You know better than that. Don't let the devil use you. This is a hospital for hurting people. We're here for those yet unreached. We're here. We welcome anyone. You say, yeah, preacher. And I've said that to many people over the years. You know, we were a hospital to you when you came. We're going to be a hospital to that person. We're going to be a hospital to that person. We're going to love on them. And thankfully, and thank God for this, you all have, you've listened. You really have. You've listened, and you've bought into that because it's a biblical principle. The day we become, everybody hear me. If you're listening to me, please say, I'm listening. All right, now, press in. God forbid. But if the day ever comes that Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is selective of who it allows to come to this church, you might as well padlock the doors and go home. We might as well pull up tent stakes and go on our merry way. Because the church ultimately, yes, it's for edification of the believer. But most importantly, the church exists to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ leads people here, you say, well, how do you know they're led of the Lord? Well, number one, let's back that up. Let's just understand something. There ain't none of us here that are the Holy Spirit, right? None of us are here that are the Holy Spirit of God. And I've learned over the years that if people come and you just show them the genuine love of Jesus, no false pretense, no, I'm really glad you're here, you know, but you know you're not glad you're here. If you just love them, you'll see the best come out in people. I've witnessed it. We've witnessed it. They were to handle church growth. They were to protect church harmony. They were to provide for the needy. Go to James chapter 1. We may get to 1 Timothy. We'll see. Many of you don't know this. And the reason you don't know this is because we don't necessarily advertise it. You may pick it up in the business meeting reports. But by the way, we do have a business meeting coming up. But our deacons do a lot of things behind the scenes. Our widows, they try to look out for. Our deacons over the years have done physical manual labor in the homes of our widows. Y'all have purchased water heaters. Y'all have purchased other items that our widows were in need for. He said, "Preach, I didn't realize we do that." You're right. We don't. We just put it in our. Often it will go into the treasury report as a benevolent need because we don't want to embarrass the widows and children. We just want to love on them, and we want to show them the love of Jesus. Deacons were to provide for the needy, and they do that here at Emmanuel.
In James chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue. That's so important. People, those that want to run around and talk about how spiritual they are, but they can't even keep their tongue from offending and criticizing and hurting people. James says, he questions if their motives are genuine, if their religion is pure. He says, if any man among you, verse 26, seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Notice this next day, but underline it, highlight it in your Bible. To visit the fatherless. To our deacons. We have fatherless in our church. Young children. Teenagers. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. But it doesn't stop there. And I'll be honest, often when I quote it, I quote just that section. Notice another statement about pure religion. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Handle church growth. Protect church harmony. Provide for the needy. It's true. It's a true statement. You may want to write this down. God loves people more than anything. God loves people more than anything. When God created the world, he spoke it into existence. He put the stars in their place. But then he created man. And man was the crowning work of God's creation. He then created Eve, the woman, and he brought them together, and he told them to be fruitful, multiply. He told them, you know, they were to be one. The ministry of a local New Testament church, the ministry of the deacons, is to see that the widows and the fatherless, especially, are taken care of. That's why, and I mentioned it from the pulpit. I don't do this normally, but it just kind of hit my heart, so I said it. Without letting the deacons know about this, but they were fine with it. But we would like to do eventually. We got to look at our calendar, get all the dynamics taken care of. But we would like to do a widow's dinner and widowers. But we'd also like to perhaps invite some of the divorce ladies in our church and those that have gone through divorces. You say, preacher, wait a minute. You say, why would we do that? I'll tell you why. Life's hard enough having a spouse with you that believes in you and loves you and goes through life together. Life's hard enough. I can't imagine going through this life alone without my spouse. So we're going to do that just to love on them and just to encourage them, just to let them know, hey, we care about you. We genuinely do. To provide for the needy. James says that. Fourthly, the deacons were to prioritize the ministry. The reason deacons were chosen was that so that it would bring priority to the ministry. You say, what do you mean? The principle that guarded the apostles' decision to appoint 7 men to serve was a simple understanding that the church needed to work together to be effective in ministry. Their motto would have been, none of us can do alone what all of us can do together. With deacons in place to serve tables, the apostles were set free to prioritize the ministry. For them, nothing, they were like the pastors of that church, nothing could override their responsibility in giving themselves to prayer and ministry of the word. And the last thing that a deacon would have done, was chosen for, was to ensure, go back to Acts 6, we'll end with this. They were to ensure gospel penetration. They were to ensure gospel penetration. Again, the five reasons for the deacons: to handle church growth, to protect church harmony, to provide for the needy, to prioritize the ministry, and to ensure gospel penetration. We come back to Acts chapter 6, and let's read the results of the deacons. The Bible tells us, verse 5, it gives us the list of the names of the seven men that were chosen. Verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. This was a symbolic gesture. The laying on of the hands was a symbolic gesture before that congregation that these men were men of honest report, these men were men of full of the Holy Spirit of God, and these men were full of wisdom. And it was a symbolic gesture in laying on of hands of these men to that congregation that the congregation then would have said, that's our deacons. That's our deacons. Those are the ones that are going to minister to us and serve us. And we, in turn, will have a chance to serve them. So we end by noticing three things that happened as a result of the deacons being chosen. This is phenomenal. This is right out of the scripture. Verse 7 says, notice the first thing that happened. And the word of God increased. The word of God increased. Literally, the word increase means it spread. The word of God, it spread because of the deacons. And you say, yeah, but preacher, because of deacons, yes. Because when the deacons served in that capacity, and there's no doubt they did it well like our deacons do, when they served in that capacity, it then freed up the apostles, the pastors, if you will, to give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word of God. The God-called position that they had, that was the most important thing they could do for the preacher, was to get alone with God, to hear from God, to get a message in his heart, get a song or a sermon in his mind, so that then he could come before the people and preach it as hearing from God, and the people would know that he heard from God. When deacons serve in their capacity and see to it that the needs are met of our widows and the fatherless in our church, the orphans in our church, when that happens, it's like a hand-in-glove kind of ministry, and people's lives are changed as a result of that. The word of God increased. Notice the second thing. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. Notice the next word. Greatly. I love that. You see, I think sometimes, if we're not careful, we can have the attitude that, well, what really grows a church is this ministry or that ministry or this ministry or that ministry. Let me make a statement. What will really grow a church is when people serve in the areas of a call of God in their life and they do it with excellence. That's what God will do, and that's what God will use to grow a church. To our deacons, thank you for what you do. Thank you for looking out. Thank you for keeping your hands on the pulse in your heart to the harmony of this local church. The number of disciples were multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. You know what that means? Because of the deacons serving the capacity that God placed them in, people were getting saved and lives were being changed because of a deacon ministry. You said, Preach, I never knew that. I never really understood that. But notice this last statement. This is phenomenal. Look at this one. Verse 7, and a great company. He uses it again. He doesn't know that when you write a few sentences, you don't use a word repeatedly, right? He doesn't understand that. But no, this is under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And he wants to emphasize greatly. The disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly. And the number of the priests, and a great, verse 7, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. The priests, they say, were anywhere from 8,000 to 12,000 priests that were serving during that day. Now, what's significant about the priests being obedient now to the faith? Can you imagine being a priest? You're serving and office of a priest. The veil of the temple would have kept you out from seeing the Holy of Holies. But something happened when Jesus died on the cross. The veil of the temple was rent in twain, literally torn in two from the top to the bottom. Can you imagine being a priest? You were doing your normal routine, but something happened while you were doing your normal routine. A man by the name of Jesus died. The Messiah, they buried him. He rose again. And can you imagine being a priest that went to do his normal routine, do his normal office duties, and he gets to the temple, but something had happened. Something miraculous had happened. No longer were they separated from the Holy of Holies. He could have seen in. And perhaps he thinks to himself, and under the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, maybe that priest who was a very, very symbolic and a very, was important as far as in the nation of Israel's history and their religious perspective and their religious realm as far as Judaism. But can you imagine being that priest? Seeing the temple torn, the veil torn in half. And maybe that priest, the convicting power of the Spirit of God said, it's because of him. It's because of Jesus. You no longer have to offer the sacrifice. The one and one final sacrifice of Christ. That was sufficient enough. That was all that was needed. Many, many priests were now obedient to the faith. In closing, Johnny Hunt writes, deacons were to be men of the highest character and deepest commitment, who were poised to keep peace in the congregation while serving the people. As a result, the apostles set themselves to continually pray and seek God. Their preaching, and I truly believe this, their preaching became more powerful than perhaps ever before because they did not have to leave the Word of God and serve tables. As a result, the church experienced growth. Faithful deacons serving the Lord by serving the people was largely responsible for the new growth. We have great deacons, but you know what I do believe? I believe as we move forward and as our church grows, we're going to need some more deacons to help them, to serve alongside. We're going to need more. And my prayer is that God will touch the hearts of the men in this church and the women in this church, the wives of these men in this church, as we move forward in this, to touch your heart, to be men of honest report, to be men that are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, to be men and women that are full of the Holy Spirit, that are full of faith, that have a walk with God, have an intimate walk with Jesus, that we then can select to serve alongside our great deacons that we have and that can minister to the widows and the fatherless in our congregation and the poor and the needy in our community and our church. And, you know, that's why we're here. We're here to minister, right? We're here to minister. You see, the office of deacon was not just primarily a position. It was not just primarily a position. The office of deacon was a ministry. It was a ministry to serve in. It wasn't just a position. It was a ministry to serve. That's why they were chosen. They were chosen to serve the Lord by serving the local church. What a blessing. Amen. What a joy to have a deacon's ministry in our church. Stand with me, please, for invitation. We trust if God has spoken to your heart, you need to respond. We give you an opportunity to do that. Here tonight and you do not know Jesus as your Savior, sweet friend, I encourage you right now to repent and believe the gospel. Believe the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ the Lord. Maybe that's your decision, that God would save you tonight, and we would rejoice and we would love to know. So if you got saved tonight, come forward, let us know about it. We'd love to rejoice with you. Maybe you're here tonight, say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I never thought of myself as perhaps someday maybe being a deacon. If the church would someday, you know, vote to put me as a deacon, to God be the glory. But regardless if that happens or not, and I say it not just to the husband, but also to the wife, would to God that we would look at these characteristics and we would look at these qualifications with a truly introspective look into our own lives and see if there's areas in our life that we're not where we need to be, that maybe God would prick our heart and show us to repent and get our life back to where God would have us to be, full of faith, full of wisdom, full of the Holy Spirit of God. We need not only deacons like that, we need choir members like that. We need Sunday school teachers like that. We need instrument players. We need orchestra members. We need sound. We need bus workers that have those characteristics, right? It'll bless our church. But I promise you this as well. It'll bless your home if you'll have those characteristics. You come as we sang. Maybe you need to come to the altar and pray. Whatever you need to do, we give an opportunity. What's the number, bud?
436.
Hymn 436. You come.
I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory's circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wandering sad and lone. I left it all for thee, hast thou left all for me? I left it all for thee, hast thou left all for me? I suffered much for thee, more than thy tongue can tell, of bitterest agony to rescue thee from hell. I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me? I've borne it all for thee, what hast thou borne for me?
Well, amen. Let me give you a couple quick announcements. Brother Stephen, come forward. Nice. The preacher, just to let you know, and let me back this up. It was probably a year ago, wasn't it, Brother Stephen, that we got a call from that nurse? From probably over a year, maybe a year, 2 years ago. We received a phone call from a nurse at 12 and Hoover Hospital up here. And she goes, hey, preacher, she says, I just want you to know. She said, a lot of times, and she's a Christian lady, Christian nurse up there. And she says, a lot of times, she said, we get families in here and their loved one in intensive care, she said, and they need a pastor. And they're not Catholic, so they don't want necessarily a priest to come. But we'd like to have a pastor, preacher, come in and pray with them. Well, Brother Stephen got a call from that nurse, and so during our service, he ran up there, and he was able to go pray with that family. Gentleman's name is Tom. He's 70 years old, and he's incoherent, correct? He's incoherent, and they're not expecting him to wake up, but and he even told us, so he prayed with him, and then he told the family that he would have his church pray for him. And so you pray for them, but also pray for Brother Stephen as the Lord has opened a door there seemingly to minister to that family. We're never more like Christ than when we're ministering and giving, right? And so we thank the Lord for that. So Brother Stephen, I have a couple more announcements, yeah, and then you can dismiss us.
Yeah, I'll say something else about that too. We've been up there a few different times to see this lady. And one time she said, I called, I couldn't get a Catholic priest to come. So I said, well, I can get you a Baptist guy. And they said, okay. And they can't get the Catholic priests to come, and we're there within 5 minutes, and so they love it up there. Our church has a great testimony there because of pastors saying, yes, we'll do this, and they've got our cell phone numbers, and we're thankful for that. Tonight there is a Vacation Bible School meeting after service, so make sure if you're involved in Vacation Bible School, you stay after to meet up here in the front just a couple minutes after service. The quicker we get going, the quicker we get out, right? So that's tonight. Also, there's a yard sale this week. Miss Karen is doing a yard sale for the teens. If you'd like to donate anything, you can start dropping that stuff off this week. I've got a trailer full of stuff we're going to take over there later this week. But you can drop that off at Miss Karen's. And if you want to come shop it, that is this Saturday from 9 till 3. Is that right? All right, so 9 to 3 this Saturday. Also, don't forget, the teens and college and career, of course, the college and career bailed on us. but I'm not mentioning names. But no, we're supposed to go to Cedar Point next Monday. A lot of our kids went with their schools, and I understand that, and that's great. But we are, except for Erica. I'm sorry, Erica. Erica's going. So a lot of our kids go with their schools, so they're not going with us, which is great. But we have to get to a certain minimum to get the group rate. Otherwise, I'll have to cancel it. So if there's anybody that would like to go with us, let us know. Let me know, because I need to know that so I can see if we have enough to get to that group rate. Otherwise, I will let the kids that are signed up know this week whether we have to cancel that or not. So see me after service and just say, hey, I'd like to go, and count me in. Also, don't forget next Sunday morning, of course, the Wall Brothers pastor mentioned that we'll be here, and we want to make sure that invite your friends. People love this stuff extra. We had somebody call the church this week asking how much the concert was, and Amy said it's free. So bring an offering, though. Let's help pay for their gas to get here, okay? That's it. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Don't forget to pray for Tom and his family. Was really, really sweet people. I gave my cell phone number. I'm hoping we can get together again with them. So pray for Tom as we are dismissed, okay? Brother Randy, will you close us in a word of prayer, please?